country people, don't you?
Yes.
You better say yes, you're in Goldsboro today. I love country people, and in case you're not from around here, let me give you some signs to help you decide whether or not somebody's from the country, okay? If you have no idea who's driving down the street, but you wave at them anyway, okay, that might be a sign. Y'all wave at me this morning. Good gracious. Everybody's gonna wave at you at all times because they're from the country. If you believe that any food can be deep fried, sprinkled in sugar and drizzled in chocolate, you might be country folk. And here's a big one. Here's a really big one, okay? If you buy all the milk and bread you can afford every time you just hear the word snow, you from the country. And all of these are good indications that you might be a country person, but if you really want to know if somebody's country, just listen to the way they talk. Y'all know that's true. Come on, tell somebody, hey, y'all. My son Hudson used the term y'all this morning, and he never says y'all. And I was thinking, okay, yep, you growing up in Wayne County, picking up the dialect. But country folks have their own vocabulary, and I love it. I'm glad I grew up in the South because I get to hear all this stuff. Like when you're a country person, you don't say I was driving fast. You say I was hauling buggy. My grandma used to say I was being Richard Petty today. Come on, country folks use words like reckon and yonder and all that. Like, I reckon there's a buggy in that shopping cart over there. Come on. We use all kinds of stuff. But here's one, I Swanee. Anybody ever heard that? I don't even know what that means, and I use that terminology. I Swanee. I just picked it up from my family, I reckon. Oh, boy. Country folks, and I love Southern expressions. Here is the quintessential Southern expression, bless your heart. Bless your heart. This one can either be sweet or salty, okay? It can be a genuine expression of sympathy, like, oh, bless your heart. Or it can mean you're just plain dumb. Yeah, Southerners are very passive-aggressive, y'all. Oh, you're a Duke fan? Bless your heart. love it. Southerners just have a colorful way of expressing themselves. Like, for instance, yesterday I was going to a place of business and I needed to go inside, but instead I drove to the drive-thru. And I was thinking, boy, I'm dumber than a bag of hammers right now. Come on, y'all. We got a fancy way of saying stuff. I gained so much weight it takes two dogs to bark at me. I love Southern expressions. Come on, we don't say that's a bad idea, do we? No. We say that dog won't hunt. Yeah. Oh, man. You have a bad hair day, somebody might say, honey, your hair looks like a cat's been sucking on it. And here's my favorite one. Sweating like a sinner in church. And I'm sweating. What's that say about me? I don't know. I better move on. But listen, I can tell your country by the way you talk. And in the same way, when you love Jesus, it affects every part of your life, including your vocabulary. That's why today I'm starting a series called I Love Jesus, But This Mouth. I love Jesus, but this mouth. How many of you know words have power?
Yeah.
What you say matters. I can tell where you're going in life by listening to the things that you're saying. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. A friend of mine came up to me one day a few years ago. He said, hey, man, I wrote a rap song about Proverbs 18:21. And I was thinking, what? it's not an individual I would think would be walking around rapping. But he said, I wrote a rap song about Proverbs 18:21. I said, okay, well, let me have it. Okay. He said, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit of it. What? Two reactions. One, that barely qualifies as a rap, and if it was, it'd be the worst one I've ever heard in my life. But two, that's a great way to remember Proverbs 18:21. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, those who love it will eat the fruit of it. Yeah, here we go, busting some rhymes this morning. But that's a powerful statement, y'all. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And when you speak, you can speak things that produce life, and you can speak things that produce death. Think about it. What's the last words of a southern gentleman? Hey, y'all, watch this. It's not in my notes. You can speak life. You can speak death. Your mouth can help you or your mouth can get you in trouble. What you say will impact your life and the lives of others. And as Christians, as the people of God, we ought to speak life. Yes. Oftentimes, problems can be traced back to things people say. Maybe you're here today and you're unhappy with your life. You may be surprised at how much your life will change if you begin to change the way you talk. Amen. So this morning, for a few moments, I want to talk about the power to declare. The power to declare. What does it mean to declare? It means to announce or to proclaim or to speak something out loud. That's another southern expression. Well, I declare. And if you look back at Proverbs 18, 20, 21, you'll notice that it doesn't say that death and life are in the tongue. No. It says death and life are in the power of the tongue. What is the power of the tongue? The power to speak. Words have power. Yes, they do. That means that when you declare something, when you say something out loud, there is power there.
That's right.
Power to do good or power to do bad. I like to say this, words are like a handgun. Uh-huh. They may seem little, but they hold a lot of power.
Yeah.
And here's the thing about handguns. You better know how to handle one, because when you have a powerful weapon like that and you don't know how to handle it, you could hurt yourself. Somebody else. Words are like guns. When used the right way, they can save lives. When used the wrong way, they can be destructive. So when you say whatever you want without thinking, it's kind of like waving a loaded gun around in a crowd full of people. Nothing good is going to come from that. The mouth is small, but it is powerful. I read a recent news story about a park ranger who was chased by a bear. I don't know about y'all. If I was being chased by a bear, I would want one of two things. Either one, a friend who was a slower runner than I am. I'm just saying, you know, you've got to pick between two. Or two, I would like to have an enormous gun, like a bazooka, you know what I mean? Like something I know is going to kill that thing dead. D-E-E-E-E-D, dead. Do you know when that park ranger was chased by a bear, all he had was a tiny little old 380? If you know anything about guns, you know that's a little gun with some little baby bullets inside of it. Okay, it's one of them guns where people say, oh, that's cute. You know what I mean? Like, it's not an intimidating weapon. But sure enough, this park ranger shot and killed a bear with a 380 pistol.
Wow.
It may be a little gun, but it is powerful. You may think your words are little things that don't matter. They may be small, but they can pack a punch. Whoever said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I just want to say bless your heart, because that is not true. I'd rather be hit with a stick sometimes and have people say stuff. Because words are powerful. You have the power to declare. You can declare good things or bad things. You can speak life or speak death. And this morning, I have three simple points for you this morning about the power to declare. Number one, declaration determines direction.
Yes, it does.
Declaration determines direction. I think about the famous baseball game in the 1932 World Series at Wrigley Field in Chicago, when Babe Ruth goes up to bat and he did something nobody had ever done before. He called his shot.
Uh-huh.
And do you know that he hit that home run and it went where he said it was going to go? Declaration determines direction. Think about this. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time.
Amen.
Okay? If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it 100% of the time. But your declaration will determine your direction. James 3, verse 3 says this: we put bits into mouths of horses to make them obey us, and we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. Your words have power. It's like a tiny bridle that steers the whole horse, like a small rudder that steers the whole ship, like a tiny spark that burns down the whole forest. Mm-hmm. Apostle James says that the tongue makes great boasts. In other words, the tongue has bragging rights. Even though it's one of the smallest parts of the body, yet it can impact the whole direction of your life. Let me paraphrase it like this. Your walking follows the direction of your talking. Come on, tell somebody. Help me preach. Come on, tell somebody. Your walking follows your talking. Come on, tell somebody else. Your walking follows your talking. Okay, your declaration determines your direction. I was in my second year of college, and I met with my academic advisor, and he said, it's time to declare a major. He said, you don't have a choice. You have to declare a major. You have to declare it now, because every course you take, your graduation date, your degree, everything hinges on what you declare. Amen. And it's the same way with your words. Just as declaring a major determines your course of study, things that you declare every day will actually determine the course of your life. Yeah. Come on, say that again. Declaration. Determines direction. Okay? Your words will affect the course of your life. For example, if you're always saying, I'll never make it, I'm no good, I'll never amount to anything, if you continually say that, eventually your life will begin to reflect what you're saying. Declaration determines direction. Okay? Remember, James said the tongue is like the rudder of a ship. If you want to change the course of your life, change the way you talk. Think about a guy in our church growing up. He used to go through Nashville, North Carolina, the first Nashville. And every time he drove past McDonald's, he would say this. He said, you know, one day I'm going to have a wreck at this intersection. Every time he drove through there, I'm going to have a wreck here one day. This is just not a good intersection. And do you know what eventually happened? He had a wreck right there in front of the McDonald's, just like he said he would. Instead of saying, I'm going to have a wreck, he should have declared Psalm 91:11, he will give his angels charge over me. Do y'all know that's God's 911? It's 9111, Psalm 91:11, he will give his angels charge over me. I heard about one of the crew on the Titanic. He said that he was one of the guys who went down with the ship, and he said that when the ship went underwater, when those giant smokestacks were submerged, it actually sucked him further down deep into the ocean underwater because of the pressure. And he said in that moment, all he could think of was Psalm 91:11. He will give his angels charge over me. And suddenly a burst of air came up and pushed him up to the surface. Telling y'all, you better make a declaration. Life and death are in the power of your mouth. I don't know about you, I want to speak life, amen? Let me do a survey. How many of you want to do God's will in your life? Okay, that's just about everybody. Think about this. When you talk negative and when you speak doubt and defeat, you're actually working against God's will for you. When you say negative things about yourself, you're directly going against what God says about you. And I'll prove it. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Yes. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. Yes. And a future. That is God's will. That is God's purpose for your plan. And you ought not to be talking any other way. Listen, I don't like to argue with people, but I certainly wouldn't want to argue with God. Amen? So if God has good plans for your life, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future, stop opposing God by the way you talk. Mm-hmm. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man a liar, including you. Hashtag, I just said that. If you want to live in the truth, you've got to live in God's word. Number one, declaration determines direction. Number two, declaring God's word brings life. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to speak life, you better have the word of God in your heart. Amen? Because what's in your heart is will come out of your mouth at some point.
Yes, it will.
If you want to speak life, you've got to know what God says. In other words, go to the source. Tell your neighbor, go to the source. You've got to go to the source. You cannot get a Big Mac from Burger King. Talk in terms I understand. If you want to speak words of life, you have to go to the source of life. I think about Jesus. Did you know that Jesus had a church split? John chapter 6, he had a big crowd. Sunday attendance was going good. They were going to three services. And Jesus preached a tough sermon, and everybody walked out. Everybody walked away. They couldn't handle what Jesus said. And Jesus turned, and he looks to his disciples, and he said, do you also want to leave? But Peter answered and said to him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. If you want to speak words of life, you got to go to the source of life.
Amen.
Find out what God says about it and declare God's promises for you.
Uh-huh.
Think about this. You ready to have your mind blown? Buckle up your seatbelt, okay? If you need to take medicine, go ahead and take it, because I'm going to tell you something this morning. The word of God coming out of your mouth has the same power and authority as it does when it comes out of God's mouth. I'm telling you, if you let that sink into your heart, it will change your life. The word of God has power. And when we speak the word of God, when we declare the word of God, when we hold on to his promises, there is power that goes forth. God said in Isaiah 55:11, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I send it to do.
It.
Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good?
Amen.
There is power when you declare the word of God. People ask me, are you part of that name it, claim it bunch? My question is this, what's the alternative to that?
Amen.
I'd rather be name it, claim it, frame it, hang it, than doubt it, pout it, and do without it.
Amen.
Come on, y'all.
Amen.
I was doing that before I was saved.
Right.
Hear pastors talking down about other pastors and churches saying, oh, they're word of faith and they're name it, claim it. Truth be told, we're all word of faith and we're all name it, claim it. Because my Bible says in Romans 10:8, the word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith which we preach.
Uh-huh.
What is the word of faith? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. People claim that word of faith is a heresy. Oh, that's telling God what to do. No, faith is not telling God what to do. Faith is taking God at his word.
Amen.
Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And this will really mess you up, y'all. Are y'all ready to get messed up even more?
Uh-huh.
You can't even get saved without naming it and claiming it.
Come on.
Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm a name it, claim it Christian, y'all. Name Jesus as my Savior, and I claim eternal life.
Yes.
Amen. Now, don't get me wrong. People can take anything out of context.
Uh-huh.
You can take sound biblical teaching and you can pervert it for your own benefit, okay? You can't just say random things and say, God's going to give me that.
Amen.
Don't come to me telling me that I'm going to get taller and I'm going to be 6'8" and play for the NBA and marry a supermodel and be a billionaire. Okay, that ain't how it works, honey. Bless your heart. That is not how it works. Jesus put it in shug. Jesus put it in perspective shug. In Matthew 6:33, he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else will be given to you. So God wants you to be blessed, and he loves to prosper his people, but you've got to put the first thing first. Amen?
Amen.
The things you declare have to be based on the word of God.
Amen.
And y'all know there's a difference between our words and God's words, right?
Amen.
Okay? If I take away the microphone,
it's harder to hear me.
Amen.
When I add the microphone, everybody can hear me. Why? Because there's power in the microphone. When you speak the word of God, there is power behind what you're declaring.
Yes.
Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So when you stop doing things your way, and you start doing things God's way, and you start thinking in accordance to the word of God, you're connecting with the creative power of God in your life. God's words are infinitely more powerful than our words. When you come into agreement with what God says, you're tapping into a power far greater than anything the enemy could ever throw against you.
Yeah.
We've talked about words that they can be used for harm like a loaded gun, but they can also be used as weapons to fight against the enemy.
Uh-huh.
When you declare the word of God, you're arming yourself against the devil.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
When he comes against you with sickness, sickness is an attack from the enemy. You can arm yourself with Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
Yes.
You need to arm yourself with the word. You need to talk junk to the devil, y'all.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. I want that when I wake up in the morning, I want the devil taking Xanax saying, oh, Lord, he's up again.
Yes.
I want to talk smack to the devil, y'all. And how do you do that? With the word of God. Mm-hmm. One of y'all clap. That's all right. I preach to one or a million. It don't matter. I think about a friend of ours, Margaret Jones. We grew up in church with her. Dad knows her. She was diagnosed with leukemia. And when she got that diagnosis, she started declaring the word of God.
Amen.
She'd go telling everybody. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:5 that by his stripes I am healed.
Amen.
By his stripes,
yes.
I remember as a child in church seeing her going through chemo, and she'd stand up in the church in the altar with no hair, had a little cap on her head, and she would say, you know what? I'm still standing on his word that by his stripes,
yes,
I am healed.
Yes.
Every day, by his stripes, I am healed. Every time she saw the doctor, she would say, by his stripes, I am healed. Well, Miss Jones, it's not looking good medically. It's not looking like you're going to make it through this. She said, that's all right, because by his stripes, I am healed. The worse her health got, the more she declared the word of God. And even though her body was getting weaker, her faith was getting stronger. You know, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes when you hear what God says. And she refused to listen to what the doctor said. She stood on what God said. By his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. I remember I was sitting in the kitchen one day in the answer machine. Y'all remember what an answer machine is? Read about it in the history books. Answer machine came on. And it was a call from the prayer team at the church saying that Margaret was going on hospice, that she wasn't going to make it. She'd probably be here just a few more hours for the family to pray. And the church, well, we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. She said, by his stripes, I'm healed. We're going to hook up with where her faith is. And we prayed and prayed and prayed. Do you know that God raised her up off of her deathbed? That's been more than 20 years ago, and she is still alive and well. Why? Because declaration determines direction. Oh, it's easy to stand on the word when everything's going good. It's easy to quote Isaiah 53:5 when you're feeling good, but when you get sick, it's a little more difficult. You have to make up your mind. I am going in a different direction. I'm going to take God at his word. And notice something. She never denied the diagnosis. Come on. Sometimes church people get a little crazy, y'all. When I was growing up, I'd say my head hurts, and church folk would say, "Don't you claim that." "But my head hurts. Don't claim that."
All
right. Put on my tombstone, "I really was sick. I told y'all." Faith is not denying the problem. Faith is declaring what God says about the problem. Come on, there's a difference between acknowledging a problem and claiming something as your own. She never denied the diagnosis, but she also did not identify herself with the diagnosis. She didn't spend all her time talking about the disease. She spent all her time talking about how great God is. So instead of talking about how big your problem is, start talking about how great your God is. Almost done as musicians come today. But I want you to think about this. What are you declaring in your life?
Amen.
Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? Are you claiming victory or defeat? Are you embracing famine or provision?
Right.
Love what the Bible says in Psalm 33:18. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy. That means that God is watching you. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Oh, I love that. Even in a time of famine, God will sustain me.
Yes.
He will keep me in the midst of what I'm going through. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." I might not be certain about this world's financial systems, but God doesn't provide for me based on this world. He provides for me according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Find the promises of God and claim them for yourself. Stand on them. Believe in them. Hope in them. Proclaim them over your life. Listen, God wants us to daily declare who he says we are. I think about Abraham. He had to come to Jesus meeting with Abram. He said, "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations." Abram didn't have no kids. In fact, he was a point in his life where he thought it was an impossibility. But God said, "I want you to start calling yourself a father of many nations." That means that every time Abraham introduced himself to somebody, he was saying, "Hello, my name is Father of Many Nations." He wanted Abraham to declare daily who God said he was. He wants to do the same thing for you. I dare you to declare who God says you are. So many times, the people that we gossip about most is ourselves. The person that we badmouth more than anybody else is me, myself, and I. Child of God, start speaking what God says about you. Think about what God told Peter in Acts 11:9. He said, "Peter, do not call common what I have made clean." Child of God, you are uncommon. You are uncommon. You are no ordinary person. You are a child of the Most High God. You're a king's kid. I want you to say this. Come on, say, "I'm a child of God. I'm a king's kid." Come on, tell somebody, "I'm royalty." Come on, say it, bougie. "I'm royalty." Speak what God says about you. Your declaration determines your direction. Declaring God's word brings life. And my last point, victory or defeat can be traced back to what you declare. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You can speak life, you can speak death. It's up to you. The choice is yours. Mm-hmm. Just like God told Israel in Deuteronomy 30:19, this day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choose life. Choose victory, not defeat. Last Sunday, we talked about David, the underdog. David, a little scrawny shepherd boy, cheese boy, faced off against a giant named Goliath. You know what David did? He made a declaration. He looked at that giant and he said, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." David declared victory before he even started the fight. So I want to ask you, what are you declaring to the giants in your life? Are you speaking defeat or are you speaking victory? What are you declaring today? Some of y'all need to start talking junk to your giants today. You need to start speaking into that situation. Say, "You know what? I'm fed up, devil. I'm not going to be defeated any longer. I'm a child of God. God has good plans for my life, and I'm going to stand on what God says." Some of y'all need to draw a line in the sand. Like David said, "This day, God's going to deliver you into my hands." You know what David said? He said, "I'm going to cut your cotton picking head off." David was bold, y'all. It's time that we be bold in our faith in God. It's time that we be bold in the situations in which we live and that we're facing and dealing with on a daily basis. It's time to have the boldness of David and make a declaration. I think everybody here knows when Independence Day is, right? Do y'all know that? What day is it? July 4th. We celebrate July 4th, 1776, as the birth of our nation. But can I tell you something? The Revolutionary War wasn't won on July 4th. It wasn't won in 1776. It began on July 4th, 1776. The war was over 7 years later on September 3rd, 1783. But don't nobody celebrate nothing on September 3rd. We don't trace our victory to the end of the war. We trace our victory back to the declaration. So I want to ask you, what are you declaring in your life today? Will you stand with me as we pray? Lord, we thank you, God, that we have life in the power of the tongue. Lord, help us, God, to align our talking, God, with your talking. Lord, help us, God, to speak life and not death. Help us to be people of faith who stand on your promises. God, help us to have that same boldness that David had when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Give us, God, the boldness and the faith, God, to chase down the giants in our lives. Lord, help us, God. Help us, God, to be men and women of faith. I feel so strongly that somebody here today needs to make a declaration of independence. You need to declare freedom over some areas in your life today. You need to get bold and say, "You know what? Enough is enough. I'm declaring my independence in Jesus' name." It's time to speak life over your finances, over your marriage, over your health, over your career, over your family, over your children. Will you just lift up your hands this morning, and I want to ask everybody to pray, and let's begin to just declare freedom today. God, we thank you, Lord, that you always calls us to triumph. We thank you, Lord, that in all these things we are more than conquerors. Lord, we thank you, God, that we are children of the Most High God, and what is impossible with man is possible with you. Lord, I thank you that there is no giant you cannot defeat, no mountain you cannot move, no problem you cannot solve. And Lord, we're going to be bold in our faith today. enough is enough. We're going to walk in victory. We're going to declare our freedom and our independence today. We are overcomers. Thank you, God, for freedom. Thank you, Lord, for faith rising up this morning. Thank you for boldness in the spirit today, God, as we face the giants, as we face the weapons that the enemy has formed against us. We thank you that they will not prosper. Oh, we thank you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us, God, to be bold in our faith. God, to take you at your word. Talked about making a declaration this morning. Did you know that God declared his love for you? He said in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God loves you. Not only has he said, I love you, but he showed, he proved that he loves you. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were unworthy. But he came anyway because he loves us with an everlasting love. God always has always loved you. He always will love you. God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you too much to let you stay where you are. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be set free from sin. He wants to break the power of sin and death off of your life. He wants you to have eternal life. Today you're not following Jesus, I want to help you, lead you in a simple prayer to help you start your journey of faith. I want to ask everybody, declare this out loud today. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, you love me. You gave your life for me. You died on the cross for me. And God raised you from the dead. I believe in you. I trust you. With your help, I'll follow you. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, meant it with all your heart, you made the greatest decision of your lifetime.